This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till three, Danny and Dusty on the fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till three.
An Odyssey station.
Hour 3 here on Danny and Dusty. Will Orton for Dusty here. Dusty will be back tomorrow from Mexico. Jeff Ross behind the glass in the ones and twos. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. Love you. Thank you for hanging out with us. We're going to keep it quick here. A little focus on the NCAA tournament. Sweet 16 action getting underway tomorrow. It's going to be good basketball, methinks.
I think it's going to be really good basketball.
And we'll get into that in the next segment. When we do some Factor Fluke, we'll talk about some of the Sweet 16 action in there as well. But I've got some betting odds from Bet Online heading into the Sweet 16. And there's some interesting ones in here that present themselves in a manner I'm like, these all kind of seem pretty interesting. One of them was, will all four number one seeds advance to Elite Eight? Here's where it's crazy. You know what? Without giving you the numbers, have you looked at them yet?
Are you talking about the favorites?
No. Will all four number one seeds advance to the Elite Eight?
I have it up right now. I see the yes plus 150, no minus 200.
That's tight.
They're not as good of odds as I would like.
That's what I'm saying.
For like, a yes, to be honest with you, I could see there are 3-1 seeds that I could potentially see. Really more 2 that lose.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Duke isn't going to lose, but Caleb Love loves to just absolutely demolish Duke, so I'm not going to completely rule them out. I think Purdue and Houston play a similar style. I have a really hard time seeing Purdue beat Houston, but do I think it would be an insane thing that Maryland beat Florida? No, I don't. I don't think it would be insane if Michigan's two bigs were able to shut out Janiah Broome, make his life more difficult. They had some injury issues in their last game to their big center and to the guy with the two last names at Auburn, right? How well does he come back? Michigan, there was a point where they were down double digits to Texas A&M and came back and beat them by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
This Michigan team, they've got some voodoo magic, something going on over there where they just find ways to win. They play a certain style where they can slow it down. And if their bigs are getting their shots, why couldn't they beat an Auburn team? An Auburn team that has struggled. Well, they haven't struggled defensively, but they're not playing as high as they have been.
Yeah, sure. They're also playing probably some better competition so far. I mean, Alabama State wasn't exactly great, but
played with their food in the first half.
Yep, they did. And then
Same thing with Creighton.
Yep.
Dominated later.
And that's usually what you see happen. But if you play around too much in the NCAA tournament, that volatility of college basketball can present itself.
Right.
I just thought it was an interesting line because I think it shows you it's like, yeah, it's a little bit tighter than you think, but also I think it's because you don't have the only upsets that are in the bracket, the only like real upset is Arkansas.
That's your Cinderella. Your Cinderella team is
a John Calipari team at Arkansas.
Yep.
But is loaded with talent.
Yeah, it's them or Ole Miss. Yeah.
And even then, Ole Miss is a six seed.
Yeah, and they were good all year. And Chris Beard
is a great coach.
He's a really good coach.
So it's like, I think that's why it's so tight when you look at that stuff. One of the interesting lines here is the biggest blowout in the Sweet 16. The best odds, as far as the best opportunity to make some money, is Kentucky versus Tennessee at 7-1.
They're saying that's where the blowout could be?
Yeah.
Or wouldn't be?
Yes.
But yes.
That to me that's interesting.
See, the two games that they have at the 7-1 are the ones where, I mean, I don't
I expect
think,
it to be, have the most variance.
Right, because if Arkansas can't shoot, which they've shown a propensity to do.
Oh, they can go cold.
They can go real cold. Texas A&M could beat them up front. Texas A&M, they shot a program record three-pointers against UNC Wilmington, and they were 20% from the field. Like, they can go cold just as easily. So there could be a lot of variance there. The one where I really like the odds, though, is Alabama BYU. When you look at that game, both teams like to run up the court and back down the court. Neither team is great defensively. Both teams like to chuck threes. Mm-hmm. Bama's okay at shooting three-pointers. BYU is really good. But both have the opportunities to go ice cold while the other goes red hot.
The other interesting one in here for me is prop bet. Will a Michigan team be in the Elite Eight? And you've got two choices. You've got 5-seed Michigan taking on Auburn or 2-seed Michigan State taking on Ole Miss. So you have a Big Ten team taking on an SEC team, both coming out of the South region. And you could potentially have a Michigan-Michigan State matchup because they are in the same region.
Yeah.
How likely are you to go down that path?
I would take those odds. If I'm betting yes at 2-1, I would do that because I think Michigan State can beat Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have two superb college basketball coaches going up against each other. And there's a reason why they call it January, February, Izzo, April.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Izzo finds a way to win. So I don't think this is one of the rare cases where I think that Beard is either a negative attribute in the coaching, or at worst, it's an even, right? Mm-hmm. Like Izzo is better or they're even. I look at the team, Ole Miss, they're scrappy. Mm-hmm. They can shoot the lights out. They can also go cold and they rely a lot on attacking the basket. Well, Michigan State, they have a good defense. That's what they're known for. Mm-hmm. And when they need clutch shots, Jace Richardson has been phenomenal.
Yeah, he have a great game last game, but yeah, otherwise.
But here's the thing, where did he score his points?
Yeah,
they were the last seven of the game. Mm-hmm. When you needed big shots,
they went to their NBA talent.
It went to him, and he hit them, right? And you don't usually see that from a freshman. Usually, if you're struggling as a freshman, that's it. You get in your own head. RJ Lewis had to get benched. He was the Big East player of the year, mm-hmm. and he wasn't hitting his shots and he had to get benched. That's not what happened with Richardson, right? The other one, when I look at Michigan Auburn, as far as the ones versus fours, or one in this case versus a five, that might be the one that I think is, I like the underdog the best.
Okay.
I like that Michigan has multiple bigs that they can throw at Janiah Broome. Which, I like that.
That's been the recipe. Like when A&M upset Auburn, they beat the hell out of him physically, beat him up on the glass. And that's,
and who did Michigan just beat by double digits? Mm-hmm. They just beat that same Texas A&M team.
But and they also Texas can't score.
Michigan has an issue mm-hmm. with that from the outside. But when yes. they get it into the bigs with Golden, they get it into Wolf, yeah. Cheddar. They have guys that can score.
Mm-hmm.
This Auburn defense has been weaker over the past month or so, right? Now, I would still assume that Auburn's going to get the job done, but if I was going to take one of those, it's either that one or Maryland, Florida.
I think Florida, if they're not the best team in the country, it's the second best team in the country. I think Duke and Florida are the most safe bets in the tournament.
I agree. I think very highly of the Crab Five. I think that starting five for Maryland is very, very
good.
It
is. And then Derek Queen has obviously got the play of the tournament mm-hmm. so far, and he's elevated himself. I've seen him as high as four in some mock drafts, which, I mean, I had him.
You mean he traveled to four?
Oh, wow. I had him, I want to say, 10th in my last yeah. one, which I need to update mine probably later this week. He'll move up to probably 8 for me, but. Top four, that's tough. That's tough sledding for me. We'll figure that one out. But yeah, no, there's just some interesting lines, and we're going to dive heavy into the NCAA tournament tomorrow. You'll be producing tomorrow. Dust will be back, and we'll dive heavier into these lines and these matchups as we get closer to the games tomorrow. But coming up next, it's Wednesday afternoon. It's 2:15, which is the time for Fact or Fluke, some things we think might be facts or flukes. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Wednesday afternoon, it's 2:15-ish, which means it's time for Fact or Fluke, some stories around the world of sports that we dive into, and we decide, are these facts or flukes? Ladies and gentlemen, we got some bangers today. I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there. Fact or Fluke, Will Order.
Mm-hmm.
The SEC got 14 bids, and after getting seven teams into the Sweet 16, Fact or Fluke, the SEC deserved all the bids they got.
I think that's a fact. A couple of the teams that had struggled more so were the ones that ended up falling and losing. But even one of the teams that you looked at all year and said, hey man, that Arkansas Razorbacks team has struggled. Where did they find themselves? They found themselves beating a Kansas team and then beating a Rick Pitino St. John's team. They've earned where they're at. You look at the SEC teams that are at the top right now, two of them are legit one seeds and have a legitimate shot to win the whole entire thing. And Tennessee is right behind them. So the whole year you've been saying the SEC is the best college basketball conference, I would agree with that. And when you have the best conference, you deserve to have the most teams in the tournament.
I don't disagree. You could probably quibble on one team. That 14th team, the Texas play-in.
Yeah, they weren't awesome.
You can quibble with that. Particularly when you're talking about the West Virginia of it all. Beyond that, I want to say it was like 3 weeks out, Dusty and I were talking about this, and I believe, Jeff, I don't even remember, I said, they deserve 12. They're going to get 13. And Dusty was like, no, that's too many. It's too many. It's too many. I'm like, look, I know, and when we hammered the 193rd best non-conference schedule, blah, 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 the SEC of it all, the SEC still got half of the teams entered into the Sweet 16. I think that's about as facty as it gets. Fact or fluke? LeBron to the Cavs was rigged, of which Jeff Rust. LeBron James was on the Pat McAfee show today, and he had this to say.
Listen, man, during the ball drop you know, during the lottery drop, Cleveland got the number one pick. That's the, I just don't think that was.
Yeah. Yo,
just,
whoa, what are you? What are you saying? Don't you think
Wemby with the Spurs?
Oh,
yeah, that like,
oh my God. Let's keep LeBron home. You know what? Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. You know, Derrick Rose to the Bulls. But I understand the assignment, guys. I'm, you know, so, you know, it's, I had to make sure that, you know, I had to do my part. I didn't want to be a fuck up. I just didn't want to be a fuck up, man. Like,
what do you think, Will?
I tend to lean away from conspiracy theories.
Coward.
I, like, what benefit does that do for the league to have LeBron in Cleveland? Now, the one that makes a little more sense to me
what
is
benefit
Ewing,
does it have the local guy who's
in a mid-market?
What year were you born?
2003. No, I understand.
Okay, I want to preface
that
this.
Was 2003. I'm born in 97.
Okay, so you were 6 years old.
Yep.
Do you remember?
I've seen the documentary.
No. Do you remember getting the? Did you have a Sports Illustrated when you were 5, 6 years old?
Yeah, he was the chosen one. He was from Akron. They had to play their games at Akron University. Wouldn't you think though that it would make more sense to put him in New York? Wouldn't it make more sense to put him in LA?
Have the kid from Akron playing in Cleveland, the small market success story. Are you kidding me? How often do you have that ability?
The other way,
no man.
Like Derrick Rose to those Chicago,
all those other teams, they're going to be big no matter what. Now you can make Cleveland matter,
and they did. I don't believe in the conspiracies. I'm never gonna buy into it.
Oh, I 100% do.
You think that Stern's like, let's rig it, make sure that Cleveland gets him?
Yeah, and I think there's a possibility that Wemby to the Spurs and Patrick Ewing in the frozen envelope to the Knicks and Derrick Rose to the Bulls. Yeah, I 100% believe in it because David Stern was the master of this stuff.
Well,
and Adam Silver learned from him.
I could get behind potentially two of those.
I can get behind every single one of them.
Derrick
The only thing Stern wasn't a master at was drinking out of a water bottle.
A lot of spillage, yeah. Hole in his chin. I was going to say, like, Chicago getting their guy, that's a major market. That's a guy who grew up in the area. He was, what, the number two college basketball player at the time? Odin was ahead?
Yeah.
Right? No, he's after Odin.
No, he's after Odin.
You're right.
Same region, Indiana and Chicago.
Yes, but he's from that area, right? Yeah. He's from that area. That makes sense to me. That's a major market.
Mm-hmm.
Ewing, he's the best college basketball player in the time. You get him to New York. New York is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to those. I don't know that I'm going to fully buy into LeBron to Cleveland. And I think at times when it comes to conspiracy theories, the NBA likes to really lean into some of them.
I'm going to go fact. I'm going to go full on fact. I'm going to lean into it heavy. I think that they... Look, we know that things happened in the Western Conference Finals between the Kings and the Lakers. Rick Adelman was just here at the Finals appreciation night for the Trailblazers. And he didn't say as much, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. My interpretation of, he was asked a question about that time period, and there's some things that he wanted to talk about, and he goes, I don't think I can. And my first thought process was, he definitely thinks that those finals teams had it rigged against them with the Bad Boy Pistons and Jordan's Bulls. And to be honest, I think he's probably right.
So you think every year it's rigged?
I don't think every year it's rigged. I think there are things that are rigged.
Gotcha.
And have been.
Lonzo Ball to the Lakers?
I mean, just look.
I don't think anybody cared about that one enough.
Yeah, that's, if anything, they probably wanted to stick Lonzo Ball and the Ball family in Antarctica. So
they did. He plays in Charlotte, the other one.
Well, yeah, but that's, again, they don't care about Charlotte. So the golf cart driving LaMelo, golf cart on a roof driving LaMelo Ball. Not really their cup of tea or their problem. Fact or fluke? This far into the season now, only 9 games remaining. The Blazers are getting to have their cake and eat it too, being that they're in games that matter, but losing and getting the best potential lottery odds outside of the craptacular teams.
I would say fact. I think there's a lot of fans that if you're going to tank, they wanted you to tank atrociously. But remember, before they go on their big win streak or their big run there in January, right before the All-Star break, there were a lot of fans that were upset that they were losing by 30. right? There were a lot of people in Portland.
Stephen lost by 40 to Memphis, and people like
that were mad.
Blown that the next game. Maybe you're talking about Chauncey Billups getting fired, and you know stuff. Everything that kind of came out of that.
And so I think there's a little bit of a misremembrance of how the early part of the season was going. And I remember when we talked about it at the beginning of the year, how'd you want this year to look? You wanted them to lose a lot of basketball games, but do it in a close fashion. You wanted to see improvement from the young players, but you still wanted to see losses on the board. I think I'm going to still say that this is a getting your cake and eating it too situation, or as close as you're going to get to it, because you're seeing the improvement. Look at Donovan Klingon's line last night. But you're also still probably going to end up with, what, a 25% chance of being in the top four?
If you
20
you
at
those,
worst?
Those eighth best or, you know, worst, whatever odds.
And you're at eight? Yeah. You're at eight right now, and you're probably not going backwards. You're probably not moving forward either. Yeah, I think you're going to get about as close to having your cake and eating it too. It's all going to depend on if you move up in the lottery, then people are going to say that this was a success. If you're the team that doesn't get to move up in the lottery, then that's where you're going to see people being upset.
I've said, you know, pre-All-Star break period, they should start probably steering into the skid. I understand why they did what they did. You know, even if I don't agree, I see tangible value in it, and you're seeing it now with the play of Denny Avdia, Tamani Kamara, Shaden Sharp, Donovan Klingon. I think you're seeing all of that really start to show up. And again, the number that I kept saying is like eighth best, because that's looking at the teams that were really craptacular. In order for Portland to have been that craptacular, they would have had to be the version that you saw of them the first couple weeks of the season.
Right.
And you weren't going to get that for 82 games. You just weren't. Even if you went as young as possible and didn't play the veterans, like, they're just clearly a cut above that. Could you say that maybe they could get 6-7? Probably. I think there's two groups of games, you know, the winning streak or the winning the five games early in the season, and then 10 out of 11 in that stretch before the All-Star break. That's probably the defining, you know, moments of the season, picking up wins that you probably didn't expect to otherwise.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that's ultimately where it's going to end up, and I think they're going to be in their best possible position considering all things.
Yes. That's what I agree with.
Yeah.
Considering all things, you saw growth, but you're still going to be in the lottery.
So there you go. Fact or Fluke every Wednesday, 2:15-ish. Some sports storylines that we look at as facts or flukes. Coming up next, you know, we talked about some of the other moves in the NFL. One, the most expensive one of the day, came really out of nowhere. Stephon Diggs to the Patriots, I guess. Come in. But first, Jeff Russ with Sports Center Update. Buried in the news of the day yesterday was one Stephon Diggs coming off an ACL tear with the Houston Texans, signing a massive deal with the New England Patriots. Now, part of this is the Patriots had money, they had to spend money, and they needed to do something. But guaranteeing $26 million to Stephon Diggs is certainly a little weird. It's a 3-year, $69 million deal, but only the first year is guaranteed. It's quite nice.
For a 31 wide receiver, 31 years old.
Coming off an ACL tear, and he's a
pretty nice deal.
And he's a basket of cats.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
But I think that if I'm looking at this glass half full, number one, meow. Indeed. There's a lot of meows in that basket. If I'm looking at this glass half full, the charitable look, as you will,
okay,
is that they look, hey, man, we've got Drake May. We believe in him. He's a good young quarterback. We've invested a little bit in our offensive line. We've got Mac Hollins. We're still trying to figure out some weapons in general. We've got this money. Let's just spend it on Diggs. If he is 80% of what he could be, combination of Jalen Polk, Hollins, and Stephon Diggs gives us at least something to work with.
Right.
You've got some ability on the outside, underneath, some top-end speed. Just you're not so bereft of targets and weapons that May is sitting there going, oh, crap, all the time. And again, the Patriots have the money, so spend it in 1 year. If Diggs is busted, broken, problematic, you're off the money again, and right. you free it up next year, and you rinse and repeat.
I think the key here is Vrabel's your head coach, and he's a no-nonsense guy, but he's also, ironically enough, as dominating as he can be, as scary as he can be, as he is a player's coach, and players love to play for him. The other thing that you're doing here with Diggs is you're putting him in the same division as the Buffalo Bills, a team that wronged him, or at least in his eyes, wronged him. I don't know that they wronged him, right? But he feels that way. So you're going to get a guy who is upset. He's coming off an ACL injury, so hopefully he's going to not necessarily improve, but he's going to do everything that he can to have the best season possible for him. And then the thing that I think is the most important here is he's a veteran wide receiver for your quarterback. It allows you in the draft, if Abdul Carter falls to you, to not feel like you have to take Travis Hunter. Because the Patriots are one of the teams where if Travis Hunter is there, he probably gets taken and used more as a wide receiver than necessarily a corner. Now, he probably gets used as both, but remember, it's harder to find corners than it is wide receivers, but the Patriots haven't found any wide receivers. So he might get used more as a wide receiver for that team. That's a pretty high up spot to take a receiver. So if you don't take Travis Hunter there, right? Let's say you go Carter or you move back. It's not a strong wide receiver class. And I understand that T-Max in this class, and people talk about him like they do Mike Evans. Big, strong, physical, can make every catch. He's athletic as you know what. This isn't last year's class where there's a bunch of wide receivers. This isn't the Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson class where there's a, you know, four or five first round
a
wide receivers.
Or run on guys in the, in the first round.
That's not what this class is. So it's smart here. Go get a veteran guy who knows how to run routes, who you can put in the slot, you can put him outside, and he's going to be a reliable target for your young quarterback. He can also teach your young quarterback how wide receivers want the ball. Because you know what Diggs is going to get? Respect when he walks in that locker room. He's a veteran wide receiver who's done it at the highest level, and he can come in there and kind of put people in the right path. Now, is he a little bit of a wild card? Is it a little bit of a risk? Yes. But I do like the move.
Here's what's insane about this. The Patriots had so much money that even after guaranteeing this money to Diggs, they still have $66 million in cap space.
Yeah, and they should. They should. They need the space to go and get as many people as they can.
It's a stopgap. It's a rollover stopgap. That's what it is. Now
he's a teacher.
Worst case scenario, Stephon Diggs goes out and Stephon Diggs, and while being productive, coming off an ACL tear, and there's, of course, the hype video, you know, Stephon Diggs is working out already. He was squatting the other day.
He's already on a Bosa ball.
Yeah, it's like, okay, dude, he's 31 years old, fresh off an ACL tear.
And he's a wide receiver that relies on his agility and his speed.
His burst,
to get open.
To get
his
separation.
Cutting ability.
Yeah. Which we all know is so good at 31 years old for most guys.
It improves is what I've been told. It's like, every year.
Like fine wine, in fact. Your knees get stronger as they get as your knees get smaller.
Yeah, that's right. And more bendy.
Yes, very
That's what
much
I
so.
Heard.
And again, I'm it's a fine move, but I was like, who are you bidding against? Who are you bidding against?
Yeah.
The Raiders?
Well, he also could be a guy where you throw the money at him there, and then you don't have to worry about it. Now you don't have to draft based on a need necessarily in that position.
I'm just surprised. Like, look, if you're telling, again, you it's not all equal because Cooper Kupp had obviously more leverage.
Yep.
But Cooper Kupp at $13 million.
Cooper Kupp wanted to play for a team competing for the playoffs.
But, I mean, again, you're telling me Stephon Diggs, you have to double Cooper Kupp's salary to get him to come play for your team?
Maybe. Maybe because of where you're at.
I don't know, man. That's the other side of this for me. I'm like, come on. $26 million for Stephon Diggs?
Well, you also get it. Like, in the NBA, there's a lot of times where teams, well, we have the money.
Look, and it's not going to hurt the Patriots because only that first year is guaranteed, but it's still, it's like,
it's a lot.
Really? That's a lot of Stephon Diggs is all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
It's a lot for his age, but,
and all the stuff that he brings. And it's like, it's not like you're bringing in like, it's not like you're bringing in like the Ravens bringing in like Anquan Boldin.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
he's not the final piece.
It's not even that. It's like you're not bringing in the stable veteran presence. You're introducing like radioactive material.
See, radioactive to me seems strong for Stephon because, like, as far as diva wide receivers go, he's not T.O.
No.
This isn't Ocho Cinco.
No, he's not. But also, those guys were more productive.
That's also fair.
There's a scale of crazy hot, and there's a scale of crazy productive.
He's right on the line.
Sure.
When the guy goes through the crazy hot matrix, and he goes through the line. Exactly. Yeah. He is going to give you a certain amount of
and
output.
And his ACL kind of flips him on which side for me. I'm always like, eh.
He's an older guy.
Yeah.
But you overpaid for him. But if he turns out to be what I think they want him to be, which is a veteran wide receiver presence to help young wide receivers move along, because they have a pretty good one over there in Kendrick Bourne. Although I guess Kendrick Bourne isn't as young as I like to think. Because he was in college when I was in college.
Yeah, so let that settle in a little bit.
Yeah, he's a little bit older than I thought. He's probably in his 30s. Yeah. But again, with Diggs, it's a veteran wide receiver that knows how to get open, can help teach the young receivers how to be a professional, but also, and the most important, can help teach your young quarterback, the cornerstone of your franchise, how to be a better quarterback. And I think that's why you overpay a little bit to get him in your system. And then you trust, because I guarantee that this conversation was had, that Mike Vrabel can keep him on the straight and narrow.
Again, it's a lot of Stephon Diggs. It's not the worst move. You've got the money. You're not going to hurt yourself. But also at the same time, it's like, you guaranteed that money. It's always weird when somebody gets that check and you're like, yeah, I could see them releasing him in like week 13.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, with him, he would be, you'd hold on and then you'd let him go at the end of the year.
Yeah. But it's just,
yep.
It's very, very weird.
It's a 1 year deal with all the stuff on the back end, just in case you like him.
All right. We'll wrap today's show. We'll revisit the news as it pertains to Damian Lillard and his diagnosis with a blood clot and a particular day in history that is popping up in the Northwest here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's time for Legends of Hoop, an inside look at the college basketball championships. Brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel, within winning distance.
Well, tomorrow we are diving into the final 16, as it were, remaining in the NCAA tournament. And we've only had that one moment. Derek Queen, game winner for Maryland. When you look at these games, well, which game has the potential to give us a Legends moment?
It's got to be BYU and Alabama. It's two teams that run up and down the court. They're chucking as many shots as they can get up. I think that game's going to be absolutely electric.
Potato mojo.
There you go. Get a Yegor Demon out of nowhere crazy pass leading to a three for the Fighting Mormons, as it were, as BYU could push their way in and show the value of NIL in landing that all-important prospect for just a rough $3 billion. Legends of Hoop is brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel. Escape the Legends Casino Hotel within winning distance. It's a short drive to Toppenish, Washington. The ultimate destination for fun and relaxation. LegendsCasino.com. As we wrap today's show, the news of the day as it pertains to the NBA. Yesterday afternoon, early last night, Chris Haynes reported that Damian Lillard was going to be out with deep vein thrombosis in his right calf. It's a blood clot. Jamal Collier of ESPN is saying that there's optimism that Damian Lillard could return this season. I have my thoughts on that. I don't believe that unless the Milwaukee Bucks make the finals, because the blood thinners that Dame is going to be on will require him to be on them for 3 months. So if you're doing the math,
he
started a couple days ago.
Okay. Because like in the article, it's like, well, he's already been on blood thinners. So it's like, okay, well, then when did they start? Because if they started 2 weeks ago when his injury issues started to happen,
you're still looking at, so it's late March.
Right. So 2 weeks ago would have been beginning of March. Okay. But yeah.
Okay. It's the 26th. You've basically been mid-March. So
okay. You're right.
I was like, wait, what day is it? I had to double check.
I forget. I
had to double check. I'm horrible with days.
I thought it was the 19th.
So let's go a month out.
Yep.
So this is best case scenario. So 1 month, April 14th. 2 months, May 14th. 3 months, June 14th.
Yeah.
So you're telling
NBA finals.
Yeah, it's finals. But that's why they say indefinite, so then best case scenario, he could in theory
come back. I think the finals start June 13th or 12th, if I'm not mistaken. So that
feels that late.
It's not. That's usually when they...
Is that usually when it starts? Yeah. Okay.
Well, because you get a couple days off in between the...
Last
two rounds.
You're right.
Trying to get guys some rest so you get a better product. So
get a little bit healthy.
It is a little bit later than usual. I think June 7th is typically 7th, 8th, 9th is usually reason. But because they moved the season from the October 18th starting points, it was the 23rd this year.
Every sport but baseball moved their time back. Like even...
Baseball starting earlier.
Yeah, baseball is starting right now.
Yeah.
Like literally tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's opening day, which was
second opening day.
Well, it's opening day. Come on.
I know.
It's opening day, of which, if you have a certain cell phone provider, they just sent out the thing for free MLB extra innings. So if you have that cell phone provider, make sure you get it. It's the best deal about being a part of that cell phone company. Otherwise, it's not worth it. but no, I love Dame, and he's an ultimate competitor, and he definitely sees the end of the tunnel coming. And if somehow the Bucks were able to get there, I know he would try to come back, but
right,
bro, take it easy. Just this ain't worth messing with. The title ain't worth your life.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's going to be.
No, but I'm saying
it's like, not going to be something that comes up. No, like,
and again, 3 months is the minimum for blood thinners. It's usually closer to six.
Like, no offense to the Bucks. Do you see him getting out of one round?
No.
Like, they might win the first round depending on the matchup. Yeah. Okay, then they get into the second round and they're playing Boston or Cleveland.
You're losing 28 points a game and you have no way to replicate it.
Right. Well, and again, you are where you're at right now as I pull up the standings. You're what, fifth in the NBA? Yeah, you're fifth right now. Well, tied for sixth. So you're going to avoid the play-in, but your first round game is either going to be Indiana, Detroit, or New York. You might get out of one.
I mean, outside of Cleveland and Boston now, it's just toss a coin, see which way it lands.
I like New York if they have Brunson. They're a step below the other two, but again.
Yeah, it's just the East is it's a shallow pond, as it were.
Top heavy.
Yeah, beyond that, important day today in Northwest history. 25 years ago today, the King Dome was imploded. They did not use the 1,000 pounds of dynamite over the necessary requirement like we did here in Oregon to blow up a whale. Instead, it was a precision-designed implosion, which precision implosions are so cool to watch.
It was cool to watch.
The Seahawks have it up on their social media account.
Yeah.
And you watch those chain explosives go off almost simultaneously in this design method to make it all cave in.
It's like explosive dominoes.
Oh, it's very cool. So cool. Because it's like within inches of where the stuff has to go.
Very cool. And now, I will say this, though. The King Dome obviously had to go. It was old.
Yeah.
I wish that they had still gone dome. So, like, maybe you have, T-Mobile Park right now, you can still have that as the baseball.
Yeah.
But I wish the football had gone dome, and here's why. You could have a Super Bowl or potentially like a Final Four type deal, because right now there's nothing this side of the country that's going to get one of those.
Like, just Vegas.
Like Vegas or LA, right? And it would be cool if Seattle had the opportunity to get one, because
or bare
I think
minimum
they could
do retractables.
Right. And if you had a dome, they could do March. They could do a national championship.
All right. There you go. That'll do it for us today. Will, appreciate you filling in for Dusty the last couple of days.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thruple days.
I appreciate it.
Who doesn't love a good thruple? Dusty will be back in tomorrow, barring the circumstances of the weather, which apparently has been postponed till about 5 o'clock, but the advisory is still out there. If you don't need to be out on the roads, don't, because they're talking about 1 to 2 inch hail and 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, my drive to the coast should be fun.
Yeah, just get to the mountains quickly, and it looks like you're going to be good because it's all coming out of the south. Stay safe. Take it easy. Come up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to yours, Isaac and Suk with Primetime. We'll catch you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Talk soon. Bye.